Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, May 31st, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are in Chapter 5, How It Works. We're on page 60, starting with the third paragraph, being convinced we were at Step 3. And we're reading through two paragraphs ending with to have varied traits. And that ends on page 61. Comments are on both paragraphs. Today's readers. The 12 steps, Rhonda R. The 12 traditions, Terry H. Readers of the text are Barbara W., Kara L., and Betsy H. The share ID for Sunday, yesterday's Sunday special edition, May 30th, is 17,043. That's 17,043. And for this morning's meeting, Monday, May 31st, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 17,046. That's 17,046. And our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N. And our announcements person is Leslie M. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our meeting, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. Good morning, everyone. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you. And I forgot to say I'm Rhonda R. in Atlanta, Georgia, grateful recovered overeater.
Well, thank you, Rhonda R., for your service this month. And next we will have read the 12 traditions. I'll ask Terry H. to do that for us. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you. This is Terry H., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater through God's grace. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, the loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, and they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. And four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups of OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, and that's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, prestige, and divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, Mo, for the opportunity to be of service this month with you in the month of May.
Well, thank you, Terry H. Likewise. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive eaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone again. And that is the star 1 feature on your phone, not the mute button. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are reading in Chapter 5, How It Works. We are on page 60, starting with the third paragraph down. Being convinced we were at step 3 through two paragraphs, and it ends on the next page, 61, with to have varied traits. And the comments will be on both paragraphs. And I will now ask Barbara W. to start us off. Good morning, Barbara.
Thank you so much, Mo. I'm Barbara W., recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Being convinced we were at step 3, which is that we decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood him, just what do we mean by that, and just what do we do? The first requirement is that we be convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. On that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody, even though our motives are good. Most people try to live by self-propulsion. Each person is like an actor who wants to run the whole show, is forever trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, and the rest of the players in his own way. If his arrangements would only stay put, if only people would do as he wished, the show would be great. Everybody, including himself, would be pleased. Life would be wonderful. In trying to make these arrangements, our actor may sometimes be quite virtuous. may be kind, considerate, patient, generous, even modest and self-sacrificing. On the other hand, he may be mean, egotistical, selfish, and dishonest. But as with most humans, he is more likely to have varied traits. Oh, once again, Barbara, compulsive overeater in recovery. I'm recovered, yes. Oh my gosh. I have to mention, years and years ago, I used to do online OA meeting. And I did some leadership stuff, as you might guess. And one of the terms I learned when I was doing that were capital letters, G-O-M-U. And it was God of my understanding. And it was used in the meeting. So if someone posted those words, you knew what they were talking about. And I've been privileged to be a sponsor, and I found guiding people in this step, remembering that step three is on the, comes after steps one and two. So by now, I would greatly hope that they had admitted they were powerless or they wouldn't be at this step. And it's like there are many paths to God. I still remember telling a friend many years ago, and she said, how do you find God? And she would say her way, and I would say, oh, Betty Lou, there are so many paths to God. And I remember feeling light and very grateful that it was. It's like a burden was lifted off mine, because my conception of God and your conception of God, if they both work in recovery, both of them are just fine. And the second paragraph, that I can still see that fellow who's probably got one word line in the entire play saying, okay, you guys, excuse me, but that isn't right. You have to do it my way. You have to do it this way. And he or she may mean well, but on the other hand, no one asked his or her opinion of it. And I wouldn't call it a director. I would call it a top controller of the universe kind of thing. And just let people do what they're supposed to be doing. Purposes of God. The purpose of God is to do all this. And this is the journey that people are going through as they learn to rely on the choice, their God, of their understanding. Betty's concept of God, of Betty's understanding. Right. John's, same thing. So I think with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Barbara, for getting us started and for your service this month. And just remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 60, the third paragraph down, being convinced we were at step three, reading through two paragraphs, ending on page 61. Likely to have varied traits. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared since last Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you can share today. Who would like to share today?
Mary B.
I think I heard.
Roz G.
Roz G.
Sandy K.
Cynthia C.
Who was that? Sandy K. Was that Sandy?
Yes, thank you.
Oh, and Kathy K. also.
Oh, Kathy K. too. Okay.
Yeah.
And Cynthia C.
Cynthia C.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. Okay, let's stop there. Those of you who would like to share, could go on the second go around. We have Mary B., Roz G., Sandy K., Kathy K., Cynthia C., and Kathleen O. Okay, Mary, you're up first. Good morning.
Thanks, Mo. Can you hear me?
I can, loud and clear.
Mary B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, here in beautiful Phoenix, Arizona, full of love, gratitude, tears of joy, happiness, peace, weight loss. I could just go on and on. Today, I am so happy to say I have 4 years of back-to-back abstinence, thanks to the program, thanks to A Vision for You, thanks to all the sponsors.
Oops, Mary, we lost you. Mary, Mary.
Can you hear me, Mom?
I can
know.
Now. Okay.
I forgot where I was at. Thank you so much. Sorry about that. I'm elated. I'm beyond elated. And now I'm going to start crying, and I want to say thank you. And June 2nd, I will have been listening to A Vision for You for 4 years. And June 3rd, I will be in the OA program for 38 years. I really relate to these two paragraphs today. The longer I live and the more I do this thing, the more I see how vitally important it is to be at step three after we've gone through one and two. Because see, I was trying to run the whole show. I'm the textbook case. I was trying to arrange the lights, the ballet, the scenery, the rest of the play. If only everybody would march to my tune. And believe me, that hasn't changed much today. I still have to do 10 steps over that every day. But I'm so grateful. I found a way out. This program works. I tried all my ways. All my ways just ended in crash and burn, in weight gain, in binging and starving, in throwing up, in lying, in telling my husband I was on a diet and then binging behind his back, hiding the receipt when I would come home from the grocery store. Because if he would have seen what I've spent on binge food, he would have hit the roof. I don't have to live like that anymore today. I can live happy, joyous, and free. When I see that stuff, that food today, it's like looking at poison. I get sick. I get sick to my stomach physically. And it's okay. And I want to welcome the newcomer. You are in an amazing place. You're in an amazing position. I'm sure you have doubts because I had all kinds of doubts. They're telling me I got to work with others. I got to follow a food plan. I got to listen to my sponsor. What are you, crazy? I know better than that. No, I don't. I still don't know better than that. I allow God, my higher power, to control my life today. I listen to him attentively. And he's amazing. Thank you so much, Mo. And again, I love everybody on this line. Thank you for the what I've got today, because it's because of you. And I'll pass with that. Thanks for letting me share, Mo.
Yeah, thank you, Mary from Arizona. Mary B. from Arizona. Thanks for that share. Next up, we have Roz G. Good morning, Roz.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everyone. My name is Roz G. I am a recovered compulsive overeater, and I live in Palmdale, California, which is just an hour north of Los Angeles. Okay, so I was thinking about these two paragraphs, too, and reminiscing on both ways I would use to try to get my way. And I was, you know, the church lady, and I could be as sweet as syrup, and well, bless your heart and bless my heart, and God knows your heart, you know. And while those things can be nice things to say, it was the kind, sweet BS to try to get my way. And then when that didn't work, I used the other way. Mean, egotistical, and very short with my words. And I did it to my family a lot, to my kids. You know, my kids experienced a rageful mother pre-program. And I have made amends to them, and I don't rage anymore one day at a time. But I certainly remember, you know, two-faced person. I'd be the sweet, syrupy, fake woman at church, and then I would come home and be the mean, bitchy mom. But then when, you know, when I got home and I got my food in me, you know, my chocolate cake or whatever else it was, casserole stuff, then I would be on cloud nine for a little while and back into a cloud of haze of food, you know. And I love this chapter. I love how it is compared to the actors on a stage, because actors, you know, can have the reputation of being prideful and ego and having big heads. And one of my sponsors kind of pictured it as blowfish in the ocean, that were just these blowfish floating around, you know. So today I'm glad that this program has deflated my ego at depth, and it continues to, because that's what this program is all about, is ego deflation. Well, this program is about a lot of stuff, but today for me, you know, I'll just say ego deflation. And self-pitying, I'm working, this is a character defect that has become very aware for me. Loneliness is really just self-pitying. It's not being content with me. It's always wanting somebody else to feel that. And that's not going to work. God is the one that's going to fulfill all that God-shaped gaping hole, you know? So anyway, otherwise I'll be rambling, so I'm going to pass there. Thank you. I pass.
Perfect timing. Thank you, Roz. Just going to call time. Sandy K, you're up next. That's Roz G from California. Sandy K, let us know where you're from.
Well, thank you very much. My name is Sandy K. I am from Florida, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God. There's no coincidences in this program. I had just gotten off the phone with one of my sponsees, and we were talking about something about her spouse. And he wasn't doing what she thought he should do. And I realized, not realized then, but I was aware of it when it was happening. I was up north visiting friends and relatives, and I had a brother, my baby brother, who's now 69, has a situation in his house. And about a year ago, I suggested he go to a support group. And he took information. He started to do what he needed to do, but he never went to it. And I thought that was a really big mistake, but I didn't say anything. And then when I was in his house last week, I said, by the way, did you ever go? And he said, no. He said, I'm not going to go. I'm not ready yet. And I said to him, well, let me just tell you a little bit about why it might be a good idea. And then I realized I said it twice, and I don't want to nag, and I don't want to control, because maybe he really isn't ready to do this. Who am I to say whether it's right for him right now? Who am I to say if it's ever right for him? But like me, with overeating, somebody could talk to me blue in the face, and unless I was ready and willing, I wasn't going to go to program. So I am what they call a slow learner. I've been in program this month. It's 37 years. Like somebody else said recently, I've been in vision for about four. I have been absent most of those years, in and out of vision. But it's controlling, no matter how I look at it, even if it's with a good intention. I don't want my baby brother to suffer. I want to help him. But I just don't nag anymore. I'll mention it once, I'll mention it twice, whether it's to my son, whether it's to his coworker, whatever it is. And then they have their own higher power. And I know today it is not me. So I've learned to close my mouth. And in the beginning, my tongue would bleed. Close it so many times. But not anymore. Practice, practice, practice. Thank you, everybody who's on the line. Thank you for letting me share. I'll pass.
Well, thank you very much, Sandy K from Florida. Next up is Kathy K. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. It's good to be here today. My name is Kathy Kay, recovered in Boston. And I just love Step 3 and the passages that were read today. I'm finding that it's pretty easy for me to surrender now on a daily basis to the God of my understanding, except when life gets real busy and the external demands and activities weigh on me in a way that I start getting very reactive. So I want to declare today that I need to practice Step 3 daily, probably many times daily, because this coming Saturday, my only son is getting married, and there are a lot of preparations in the works, many of which I'm responsible for, and I find myself going through worry and anxiety, and rather than being in the joy of this upcoming very happy event for my son and his fiance and for all of us in the family, I'm learning once again that when life gets busy, I need God even more than when life is relatively routine and calm. And I'm so grateful that I have the willingness to practice prayer many times a day if I need to, and most importantly, to pause long enough to hear God's guidance. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Kathy Kay from Massachusetts. I think you said Boston. And congratulations. Next up is Cynthia C., followed by Kathleen O., and after Kathleen, I will take more names. Good morning, Cynthia.
Thank you so much for your service, and thank you to everybody who makes this meeting happen today and every day. This is Cynthia C., recovering compulsive overeater and food addict in Newton, Massachusetts. I'm so, so, so grateful to be on the line, and I haven't been on this meeting in a little while because I'm dealing with these exact issues, with this exact issues of my being in conflict and being in collision with people and trying to control everything. I work for an essential organization, nonprofit, and it has been in deep crisis ever since the pandemic hit, and I have been trying to fix everything. Like, I have just been trying to fix everything, and we brought in an interim executive director, and she's actually been very, very abusive, not just to me, to like across the board. And it got too much for me. Like, I was trying to fix, I was going to the board to talk to the board. I've been trying to fix everything and keep it all afloat. And then my team was so unhappy with things that were going on upper management that they quit. And I finally, it wasn't because of me that they quit, but I had enough. Like, I finally realized, like, I just can't please everyone. I can't fix everything. And I've had enough with trying to ingratiate myself or argue with this interim executive director. And I, working with my sponsor and executive coach, I actually gave notice. And I have 3 more days left of work, and then I'm taking a break. I'm entering into, part of me feels like it's a scary void, and another part of me feels like it's, I get an adventure. I get to trust in my higher power. Like, I don't know what my next step is going to be. I know I need a break. I know that trying to control and fix everything just isn't working. I'm so fried, and it was so bad at work that I've been having like childhood trauma memories. Like, my PTSD has been coming up, and I also realized that, like, I haven't, I have a pretty long, I have like an hour long 11 step, and I've been so caught up. This past week was extremely hard at work because I was covering for my team who's no longer there, and I didn't have time to do my step work, and I wasn't doing 10 steps, and I wasn't turning everything over to my higher power. And so I have to say, on Saturday, I fell back into some old negative behaviors around, you know, just I didn't pick up, you know, my alcoholic foods, but I definitely fell back into some old negative behaviors. And it was, you know, I've talked to my sponsor. I didn't lose my abstinence, but it's scary how strong our disease is. You know, I'm 4 years in, over 4 years into program, and I work the steps hard, and it just takes a couple days of my not doing my normal routine for me to start slipping back into old behaviors, and that's scary. It's probably a really good wake-up call. And I'm in a lot of self-doubt about leaving my job, and yet I do strongly believe that it was higher power driven, and it's all meant to be. So just thank you so much for letting me share. I'm grateful to be here, and I'm grateful to be in recovery today. Thank you.
Thank you, Cynthia C. from Massachusetts. And before I take Kathleen O., let me remind everybody where we are. We're in the chapter How It Works on page 60, the third paragraph down. Being convinced we were at step three, and we're reading through two paragraphs, ending on page 61, ending with to have varied traits. And so after Kathleen, I will take some more names. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you, everyone, for your wonderful shares this morning. Good stuff we're talking about. So deciding to turn our will, this is Kathleen O., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Deciding to turn our will and our life over to God as we understood him. What do we mean by that? And just what do we do? These are great questions, right? So these steps not only provide us the means to stop eating compulsively, but they provide us a way to live a productive life. And my life was not very productive when I wanted to run the show. I needed to get out of the driver's seat. And trust me, I was super glued to that driver's seat. But I had to let God run the show. If I play the saxophone in a band, and I don't play the saxophone, but, you know, I need to practice and play that saxophone to the best of my ability. And if I'm telling every other person how to play their instrument, I'm anything but productive. And I wouldn't be useful to the band at all. So step three is making a decision. But to be effective, it must be followed by action. I can decide to open the door, but if I don't reach out, turn the knob and pull, the door is not going to open. So it really does take action. You've got to make a decision and then take action. And truly, a lifetime of recovery can only be made by making the decision to turn our will over to higher power. You know, I finally had to admit I couldn't control the food, and that was the bottom line. And it was making me miserable and unhappy. And so I found these steps as a way to literally achieve the impossible. So believing in a higher power, it takes surrender and takes courage. And, you know, believing, being convinced, having faith, this higher power has provided me everything I need. All I need to do is surrender, to breathe, to relax, to trust, to pause, to seek. The line, if only people would do as he wished, the show would be great. Talk about delusion and arrogance. I don't need to tell people what to do anymore, and that is a gift. You know, I don't need to run the show. I don't need to tell people, if only you would do it this way, if only you would say this, if only you would do that. Because the truth is, when I tried to run the show, things did not turn out well. So once I got out of the driver's seat, life got much, much better. I truly only need to be directed by my higher power and allow others to be directed by their God and their higher power. And when I'm feeling compelled to run the show, my mantra is the serenity prayer. You know, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. And with that, I pass. Thanks, Mo.
Hey, thanks, Kathleen. Oh, and so, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on these two paragraphs?
Lee B.
Liz S.
Who was that again?
Lee B. B as in boy.
Oh, Lee. Okay, I got you, Lee. And then I heard Liz
S.
Liz S. Barb B. V.
Barb V. V as in, yeah.
Yeah, thanks. Anyone else? I got Lee B, Liz S, and Barb V. Okay. We'll go with those three then. See where we're at. Lee B, you're up first.
Hi, my name is Lee, L-E-I-G-H, B, and I am from Delaware. Thank you so much, everybody who's on the line this morning, and thank you for your service. It says being convinced that I am at step three. Well, what does that look like? And then in the next paragraph, it's basically telling me how step three is not supposed to look. I can't have things my way, the way I've wanted them in the past. It hasn't worked for me, or I wouldn't need the program. I can't run the show. I can't control anybody else. I can't even control myself. I had to let go and find a higher power that would help me do something that other than what my previous experience had been. So for me, I need step three every day. I need to surrender every single morning in my meditation time throughout the day, walk with my higher power, get instruction and clarity from God, and get instruction even in my own thinking, because I'm trying to get everybody else to do what I want, but my self-sufficiency, if you're not doing what I want, then I'll do it myself. So God has had to work on me with my self-sufficiency, and that I don't have the right answers, because my frustration leads me to the food. My frustration leads me to be manipulative. My frustration leads me to manipulating kindness. That's my thing. Oh, I'm going to be nice to you to get what I want out of you. And that's a misstep. My disease is baffling. My disease is cunning. And I will totally misstep if left to my thoughts in my own head. But see, my higher power shows me my motives, shows me who I am, and helps me to clean up my past and clean up my day every single day by doing this step every morning and throughout the day. Thank you for letting me share, and with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Lee B. from Baltimore, Maryland. Liz S., followed by Barb V. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, it's Liz S. in New Hampshire, and I was just thinking all the times I tried to control predominantly my seven brothers and sisters. And as Bill later talks about, I stepped on their toes, and they had reason to retaliate, and they did in very subtle ways. And I couldn't understand why. What did I do wrong? Well, what I did wrong was I tried to control them. I tried to manipulate, and always to some way to my advantage. Also in the office, I wanted people to, you know, understand that we're going to do things the way I want them done. And I was just thinking with some humor, one way that I learned that I could not control is when I got my first dog. I could not, you really cannot control a dog. And I had a wonderful trainer from the ASPCA. And I had spent one night walking this poor dog around the block probably 10 times in the rain, and he would not go. And she said to me, if he doesn't have to go, he's not going to go, meaning you can't make him. And it was such an important lesson for me. I can't control my dog who I have now. I took him out of the field recently. She didn't have to go. So I said, okay, we'll go home. And it was a wonderful lesson to me to realize that you can't control your dog, Liz. And also with children, you can't control them either. I mean, you can't make them do what you want them to do. I can't make my dog do what I want her to do. What a blessing. And sort of a way it's analogous to me, but I can't make people do what I want them to do. And I just reminded that working with this wonderful trainer in New York who taught me how to work with my dog. In a way, she taught me how to work with people. You know, I had to surrender my will with my dog, and I'm laughing because in the same way, I have to surrender my will with people. And, you know, I have to remind myself every day, And it's such a relief. It takes a lot of work and energy to try and get people to do what you want. It's a lot easier not to. And it's really actually a lot. It's a relief to let it go. But step three is something I have to take every single day and let God be in charge. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you, Liz S. And before I take Barb V, I'll just remind everybody where we're at because we'll have time for a few more shares. We're on page 60, the third paragraph down, being convinced. We were at step three and ending on page 61. He is more likely to have varied traits. So after Barb V, press star one to unmute. Good morning, Barb.
Good morning. This is Barb V from California, and really grateful to have a chance to share about today's reading. I also am excited to introduce myself. I've been listening to this meeting for about a month, and this is the first time I've spoken. So just really want to thank everyone for carrying the message. I've been in OA for a long time, but it's great to find another way of hearing the message, and this is just on the meeting. I was just really moved to speak because I woke up this morning really struggling with an issue around a service relationship. And, you know, hearing this passage reminded me, okay, wait a second, what's my part? What are my lines that I don't need to manage the other person? I don't need to take their inventory. I don't need to decide whether the way they're behaving is right or wrong, because it's really not up to me. And all I need to do is keep, I mean, this is, I think, the best part of step three is it just keeps it incredibly simple. You know, we turn our own will and our lives over to the care of a higher power, and then we just pray for knowledge of that higher power's will and the ability to carry it out. And everything else is not relevant anymore. And I used to think that I could not be happy unless everything around me was perfect. And what I am learning one day at a time is that, you know, when I accept love on life's terms and I ask for knowledge of my higher power's will, I mean, sometimes my higher power's will involves asking for a lot of courage and being willing to do things differently, and sometimes it's very uncomfortable, but it doesn't involve needing to control everything or even myself. And so I just, this is exactly the message I need to hear this morning, and I also just appreciate the opportunity to express my gratitude for this meeting. It's been really wonderful to discover this group and to be drawn back into the study of the Big Book. So thank you all for that, and I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Barb V. from California. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I am open to take a few more names, two, maybe three.
Deborah G.
Larry G.
Wendy M.
I got Deborah G. I heard Larry.
Wendy M.
Wendy M. Okay, we'll stop there. Thank you. Okay, Deborah G., you are up first. Good morning, Deborah.
Thank you, Mo. Thank you so much for being of service today. And wow, thank you all that have made this meeting possible and have 12-stepped me. The shares today have been wonderful. And my mom has cancer. And boy, I'll tell you, this is a good experience of getting a deeper relationship with God to get more transformation. But that doesn't mean that I don't get into self-centered fear, which I did recently, which I took to a 10th step. And doing that work, you know, what my mom does with her treatment or what she eats, what she doesn't eat, is none of my business. And I need to remember that. I can love her, pray for her, support her, and listen and not get into that. And, you know, because it's not up to me. You know, there's that self-centered fear when I think it is. It's up to that power. Because I've learned through going through the steps that that power has power, you know, and to trust. And I learned this last time around in my step work, my concept of that power is love, everything, patience, reality,
guidance. It's in me. It's in you. You know, it's everything. And so that helps me to trust and rest in that loving presence in my meditation practice, being in what is and carrying that out into my day and being loving and kind to others. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Larry K. and Wendy, oh, I didn't get your last initial. If you take each two and a half minutes, that'll work.
This is Larry G. from California. Good morning, Mo, and thank you for all of you who make this call possible. Oh, God, what a great read. I'm so inspired by the calls today. I have a guaranteed method of learning how I am utterly powerless in this world, and I'll share this with you, those of you who might be interested. Go to a cat rescue center and adopt a cat. Adopt a kitten, and then try to train that cat. Now, I've been a dog owner all my life, and I try to apply dog training techniques to train this little 7-pound cat. My wife has had a cat. She said, Larry, you give up. But I wasn't going to give up. I was going to, like the very trait, gracious one moment, demanding the next. And I wanted this cat to stay off the counter. And so I would do some of the things that I did to train a dog, like I would put mouse traps on, and a foil over the top of that. So when she'd walk on that, she'd set the mouse trap off and then get scared. Well, what she did was she would tap the mouse trap. Obviously, the foil would not hurt. Then we'd go off, and she would have free rein on the counter. I would even go as far as put soapy water on the counter because cats don't like water. And one day I came to the kitchen, and she was tiptoeing on the dry spots. And I started to cry, and I started to laugh, and I realized, oh, my God, Larry, this is what you've been doing for 60 years. You've been trying to control other people's circumstances, conditions, so that you could wrest satisfaction out of this world. You had the delusion that you could do that. And I'm not saying to you that I've stopped doing it. I haven't. I'm a work in progress. This has been a phenomenal year in recovery for me. I've learned a lot. But I continue to work on letting go and acknowledging that, Larry, you're powerless. You're powerless over your daughter, you're powerless over your wife, you're powerless over whether people do business with you or not. You're powerless over the host at the restaurant, whether you get good service or not. And what has happened as a result of this new mindset, and I'll wrap up, is that I've grown closer to God, and God is in control. God is the business owner. God is my treasure. God is the economy. And life has gotten very sweet. Thank you so much, and have a great day. I'm out.
Well, thank you, Larry G., for that wonderful story from California. Wendy? I think it's Wendy M. Is it Wendy M.? Can't hear you. Press star 1 to unmute.
Okay, great. I am unmuted. Thank you, Mo, for your service. It's
Wendy
M. Yeah, Wendy M. in Boulder, Colorado. Appreciate this book. Appreciate you. So first of all, when I read 60 to 63 the first time, I was like, how do they know? Are they following me around? Like, how do they know? This is so precise. This is so exact. Like words like self-propulsion. Like, I love that, right? We exert, or I, Wendy, exert myself more. I'm not getting my way. I know the answer. I'm going to exert myself more. I had no idea this was happening. And what happens is when this divinely inspired book says words like self-propulsion or collision, it's like we get freedom when our experience is named. And this is my experience, absolutely. And when it's named, I get some movement. I can move a little bit more. I can detach a little bit more from this insanity, really, right? Like, I know that if I just exert myself more, I'll be, you know, it's all going to work. And it never works. And the difference today, a recovered mind is, oh, my God, I see that it's not working. Whereas before, we're swimming in the disease. So we think, well, I just, you know, and I love the words, if only. That was my life. That was my life. If only he, she, it, they, whoever would just stay put, do it my way, because I never, ever, you know, set a boundary. I never, ever knew that God was there. And then the other thing I heard this morning that was interesting is instead of saying if only people would do as he wished, I replaced the word I. If only people would do as I wished, I may be kind, considerate, but I also might be self-sacrificing, mean, egotistical. Absolutely. Whatever it is I can do to get my way. You know, and it's the same with the addiction. The addiction's like you've got to lie, you've got to steal, whatever you got to do when
time.
You get that food, do it. Thank you so much for letting me share it.
Well, thank you, Wendy M. from Colorado, and all those who participated in this meeting, and wonderful shares. So we will now close the reading from we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. I will now ask Kara. No, it's not Kara. It's
It is.
It's Kara.
Nemo.
Sorry. I didn't have my pages open. All right, you read a vision for you for me. Thanks.
Yep, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your own relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.